The hatted kicking gonna stop. It's gonna start now. It's gonna run through the summer, and it's hot, hot, hot in public, if you will.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
I came to play.
It's Monday night. I am down here at the bar. I just poured a cocktail, and I am ready. I have been itching to get on this radio program and run my mouth a little bit. You just have no idea. My name is Chef Plum, and welcome to Plum Love Foods Live right here on this Monday, February 15th. It's the day after the biggest love day on the planet. That's what today is. But today, this show is going to start off. We're going to have a lot of love. It's going to be a bit of a love fest, of course, because I can't help but have a little bit of a love fest going on in here. You know, with my buddy Ken Tuccio, the host of Welcome to Connecticut. He's got a 100th episode coming up this week. The dude is just – I tell you what, I'll put Ken over a little bit more as he gets on the phone here and talks to us. But also, later, a little bit later on, we're going to talk to a new buddy of mine. His name is Jamie Glover from Glover's Pepper Sauce, and this brother has gone on – and taken a sauce that he made as a tribute to his grandfather, pay homage to his grandfather, and almost built this tiny little, whole business for himself that's now about to go big time. And it's pretty amazing to hear his story and what's going on with him, because what he's doing, I've been in a similar business before, not hot sauce, but something similar with some gentlemen down in the Atlanta area, and it's not easy. It is not easy at all to do what he wants to do and what he has done, the co-packing, all that stuff. So we're going to talk to Jamie a lot about that, because that stuff's interesting to me. And that's what it's about. It's about learning more, different facets of this business. It's about educating young cooks. Let me say that again. It's about educating young cooks. It's about teaching people who maybe still think it's appropriate to put a fucking sprig of rosemary on a goddamn plate and give it to somebody. Yeah, I'll slow down. But listen, that's what it's about. It's about teaching young cooks. I have a lot of young cooks who check this show out. I'm very fortunate. I'm honored to have that. But I find it, as someone who's been doing this as long as I've been doing it, to have to show them, to teach them, to show my knowledge. And I've always said, what makes a chef is the fact that, one, you can make you can create incredible food and you're a fantastic cook. But not only that, you also are a willing teacher. Let me just explain that again. You are a willing teacher. You're going to hear that again in a few minutes, I promise you, because there was a little bit of Instagram drama this week on my Instagram account, @chef_plum. That's @chef_plum. And I plan on addressing it. I plan on addressing the one or two people who disagreed with me, because I find their disagreement could not be more wrong in the whole scheme of things, especially in the day and age of the restaurant business in 2016. It's just such an important thing. It's a changing world. It's not the same world. You have to think big picture. It's become crazy at this radio show, man. I used to sit here at the bar. I'd pour myself a cocktail. I would sit down and get a little nervous about doing it. I'm standing up now. My arms are flailing as I'm talking, as if I was on television, and or if I was even standing in front of a group of people and talking. I get so into it now. I love doing it. I'm honored to be doing it. So it's just amazing how that works out. How much this show has changed everything that I used to think about the original show. So it's just, I don't know, man. It's something else. It's just something else in my world when it comes to it. So we're going to talk a little bit too tonight to my dude, Ken Tuccio. Now, Ken Tuccio has become a regular on the show. He is a buddy of mine. He hosts the Welcome to Connecticut podcast, which does extremely well. He's also a big food person and a big beer guy. So having him on the show tonight to, one, talk about this incredible event that he had out at the Blind Rhino down in South Norwalk, which, you know, I'm not trying to be too local for everybody, but South Norwalk is a place that's close to New York City. It's about 40 minutes or so, maybe a little less. Actually, it's probably about half an hour from New York City. It's a great spot down there. And what Ken did for this event was pretty unbelievable. And, you know, listen, I'm not going to bring out any kind of intro music or anything like that. Dude, I just want to welcome my dude, Ken Tuccio, to the program. Brother, what's going on?
What's going on, man? How are you?
I am fired up, my friend. I was just saying here in the intro how I used to do this show and I would sit in my stool and I'd be a little nervous about what I was going to talk about and I'd sip on my beer. I'm standing up right now drinking a full-on mixed vodka cocktail.
Wow, good for you. I'm sitting back and having a Lawson sip of sunshine as we speak. So,
great beer.
You know, I've been sitting back and watching Raw, and then I have to pause Raw to call you. So,
well, at least we live in a day and age where you can still pause your wrestling, your show where you watch men roll around in tights, which, listen, I will be checking out the highlights once the show is over tonight, so I'm just as bad as you are. But, dude, more importantly, hey, man, you have a giant show coming up this Thursday, bro. You're having your 100th episode. That's amazing.
Yeah, 100 episodes. Yeah, it's kind of cool, man. When I initially launched the show, if you had told me I was going to go 100 episodes, I would have thought you were kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, very fortunate and kind of excited about it. And it's a little bit of a different episode. We're doing three separate interviews. You're one of the interviews.
That's right.
But basically, I want to pick three people who I thought kind of, you know, were important to the growth of the show. And, you know, and I
right.
say this, you know, with no bromance in mind, your interview was one of the ones that I considered, you know, I considered your interview, the one I did with you, to be, if I had to put a picture-perfect example of what I wanted interviews to be when I first launched the show, it was you and I sitting in my office, killing a six-pack of beer and just shooting the shit. And that's why I wanted to have you back, man, and I'm glad you did it.
Well, I appreciate it. And, dude, listen, you know, it was a lot of fun. And you and I was saying in the intro here, you and I have become pretty good friends over the past, almost a year now. We've become pretty tight, and we both kind of see the big picture of things. And it's not very often you meet someone who sees the big picture. And as opposed to looking at what's right in front of them, they can see what's behind it. And you and I kind of have that same vision, which is why I think we get along so well. But, dude, congratulations. The show is awesome. I'm a subscriber. If you don't subscribe, go to iTunes. Just type in, welcome to CT. And listen, it's not always about Connecticut. He has some incredible guests on. One of the best shows, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, dude, was the episode he just had where he had the American legend, if I may, Bob Backlund from the WWE, back in the day, the WWF. I hate when people do that. I just did it. Sorry. Former champion. He came to your house. Now, if anyone doesn't know who Bob Backlund is, Bob Backlund was a little eccentric, to say the least, right?
Bob Backlund is – I worked in wrestling for 3 years. And
right.
there's a line that goes around in the wrestling industry about Bob Backlund's story. Because Bob Backlund is known in the wrestling industry behind the scenes as being one of the more – eccentric individuals, an eccentric personality. And he always carried that onto the screen with him, especially in the late 90s when he became a bad guy and became Mr. Backlund. And that's kind of what made him memorable to, you know, people of my age and your age. But, yeah, I mean, he's a character and a half. And I remember when I first booked that and Bob Backlund, like someone gave me a phone number for Bob Backlund and said, you know, he lives in Connecticut, you should give him a call, he has a new book out. So I give Bob Backlund a call. I leave a message on some random voicemail. I'm like, I don't know if anyone's getting back to me. Bob Backlund calls me back in 15 minutes. Calls me back
wow.
in 15 minutes and immediately is like excited to do the show. He's telling me how he wants to podcast himself. And then he says, one of my favorite lines is he goes, send me an email with all your information and the address I'm going to. I'm going to go to the library in an hour and I'll check my email. And that right there just kind of like summarize Bob Backlund. He's like he's very excitable. He is someone who he's harmless. Like he's
wow.
not the kind of he's crazy, but he's crazy in a good way. He's the best kind of crazy. Like he's not the kind of guy who, you know, you have to worry about coming into your house and like, you know, slitting the throat of your family. He's the kind of guy who will come into your house and you don't know if you can ever get him to leave. Oh, yes, Brussels sprouts. Oh, listen, I'm not spoiling the Brussels sprouts story. That's on episode 100. But
I'm not going to go any further than that. That's fine.
I will say this. Like, when he came to my condo, he recorded the show. He was nothing but nice to me. He was super friendly. And the episode itself was a lot of fun. Like, honestly, it's one of my favorite episodes. And one of the things that I actually liked about it was Bob Backlund is a guy who introduced me to wrestling. Like, my father was a Bob Backlund fan.
Right.
So one of the first guys I used to watch wrestle was Bob Backlund. So it was kind of cool to have him in my house just hanging out. And, you know, I'm telling you, one of these days we're going to do a cooking segment, the three of us. It's going to be amazing.
I can't wait. I'm so looking forward to it. I can't wait to hang out with Bob Backlund and do a cooking segment. And hopefully he'll put me in the cross-face chicken wing. That's what I'm looking forward to. Hey, you know what else is really cool, Kenny? Listen. So I've become friends with a group of people called Shoes for Crews. You've probably seen them on Instagram. They basically do shoes for kitchen people, and they've given me several pairs of shoes to give away. We're going to start that giveaway on Instagram here this week, so make sure you pay attention to that because you can win yourself a brand new pair of work shoes, Ken. How about that? A brand new pair of work shoes.
Is there one thing you know about me is I like free swag, so I'm all about that.
Absolutely, and these guys have given me a number of pairs to give away. I'm really excited about it. So that's the fun part, man. We get to give stuff away on a show like this to the people who listen to this show. So also, listen, show 100 is coming up for you. It's going to be amazing. I can't wait to check it out. It's a giant, giant landmark, especially in this world that we do, you and I. And congratulations, dude, and much success to you. And you're awesome, and 100 more, I hope, for you, because the show is awesome. It's great. If you don't check it out, you really should, because it's not just for Connecticut people. He gets some great guests on the show. So, brother, congratulations on that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, man. Thank you for all your continued support, because I'm telling you, man, you are a solid rock in my life. And in the fact that, like, you know, if I need someone to call to bounce stuff off of, man, you're right there, and I appreciate that full.
Anytime. Anywhere, any place, I'll be there. I forgot what movie that's from. That's from a movie. So I also want to talk about, before I address some issues, I wanted you to be my sounding board for my issues. So that's why I one of the reasons, self-servingly, wanted to have you on the show tonight. But also, I want to talk for a second about Sono Bowl, which happened down in South Norwalk on Super Bowl Sunday. The event you had at the awesome restaurant, the Blind Rhino, before Super Bowl, man, putting together an event like that, basically what Ken did was had 200 people show up at this restaurant. He did this game show type scenario before the game where we had everybody screaming and going nuts. It was a lot of fun. There were people throwing pies at each other, people putting their heads in water. It was an amazing time. Dude, congratulations on that, because that event was absolutely insane. You were in every newspaper on the planet for it. So, dude, that was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, thank you. It's one of those things when you describe it and when I look back on it, I kind of realize how crazy the concept was. But it kind of worked, man. I mean, we had – that bar was swamped. I mean, it's one of those things – I mean, I'm a big football fan, so are you. But
yeah.
It's one of the few Super Bowls – I don't think I watched one full down the entire game, but it's probably going to be one of the most memorable Super Bowls I'll ever have, because we had – close to 250, if not over 250 people in that bar. Everyone
wow.
was just having a good time. And it was just, it was so different. Like, we had, you know, I mean, you saw it. We had, like, we had your boy Eric, like, doing bobbing for apples, like, completely drenching himself, basically giving himself a bath. We had chicks trying to eat pudding super quick. We had pies being
great.
Thrown in people's faces. It's one of those things. The thing I love the most is that when you're looking at the photos of this event that, like,
right.
Connecticut Post and all these places did, it just looks like a wacky event. It really was. It was kind of crazy.
Dude, the event was so much fun, and I got to give a shout-out to my man Eric. I told you, if you're looking for a dude who will commit, that motherfucker will commit, won't he? He was no joke.
Here's my favorite thing about Eric is when Eric was doing the bobbing for apples, I had to get off the stage because I had, like, my microphone and Eric was splashing water all over the place. So I get off the stage and I end up going, I'm standing down on the floor looking up at the stage and I'm with the Jägermeister girls.
Right.
And you hear, and the Jägermeister girls, it's like they just saw, like, a puppy getting run over by a car. They're like, oh my God, what is he doing? And it was just, it was absolutely hilarious. And what I loved is that for an event that ridiculous, we drew that many people, and we had legitimately almost every legit Connecticut media outlet there covering this ridiculous event. it was, I don't know, it's kind of hilarious to me looking back on it, but it was a lot of fun, man. And if you think that was crazy, man, wait until next year, Sono Bowl 2. Now we have a standard set. We have to go higher than that now.
Oh, hell yeah. And it was a great event, man. And I want a fucking Plinko board next year, all right?
Yeah, well, not for nothing. You saw the way this event worked this year and how crazy it was. I'm not necessarily sure a Plinko board is going to grab the attention of the crowd.
Well, we'll have to talk because I got an idea for the Plinko board. You never know, sir. I may have one this summer. Long story about it off air. But yeah, great event. Also, I can't bring up that event without shouting out our dude Jamie and the whole crew over to Blind Rhino, man. What cool people those guys are.
Jamie, Casey, and Matt are honest to goodness. I mean, you know a lot of people in the restaurant industry. I know a lot of people in the restaurant industry and in the bar industry. They are genuinely three of the best dudes I have met, not only in that industry, but just in general. They're just solid dudes. They are the kind of dudes that you and I like because you shake their hand, they tell you something, and you can take it to the bank. They are solid dudes, good dudes, and I would work with them any day.
You know, and the thing about those guys I like the most is that they put this event, they were very forward-thinking about an event like this. They said, yes, let's do it. They brought in some incredible beers, and, you know, they got some benefits from it. They had over 250 people in their restaurant. They did pretty well sales-wise, and, you know, hey, they've got some great food over there. So if you're ever down in the Norwalk area, highly recommend go check out the Blind Rhino. Great dudes over there, great food, great beers on tap. And just it's nice to support some cool people like that.
No, I mean, and honestly, they're doing everything right, man. They have, in my opinion, the best food for a sports bar in the state. Like, I go to a lot of sports bars. They have the best food for a sports bar in the state, bar none. And, you know, they did it right, like you said, man. They wanted to make sure that everyone who came had a good time. And I think everyone who did come had a good time. And, I mean, it was an event that blew up. I mean, you know, Norwalk could have chosen anything to put on the front page of the paper last Monday. And they chose our ridiculous event to be a full front page spread. So it's kind of crazy.
And, dude, you're absolutely right. But that event was awesome. And congratulations on that and putting it on. And hopefully you'll have some more success doing some more cool events with those guys in the future.
Onward and upward, man. That's what we got to do.
There you go. So listen, man. You've seen my Instagram. You saw that I created a little bit of drama last week. I mean, just before we get into it, how do you feel about social media drama, man? What do you think about that?
I try to stay away from it. I'm not someone who will really say things that are horribly controversial on social media. Normally what I'll do if I have something controversial to say, I'll text it to you separately. And, you know, I think people who get worked up over a lot of social media stuff kind of have too much time on their hands because, in my opinion, life's too short.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, it's a thing now. That's one of the reasons I try to kind of be as close to Switzerland as possible with my social media because you don't know what you're going to say that's going to end up offending somebody and causing you to, you know, have to kind of, you know, go into damage control, if that makes sense.
Right, right. Well, this is my problem, is that I was always the consummate heel. I was like the corporation old WWE heel, where, like, I kind of had a point, but I was definitely being a little bit of a dick. So just to bring everybody up to par, if you're not there, I posted on Instagram a picture. I was at a restaurant. I posted a picture of a dish that was served to me at this restaurant, which I'm not going to name. I still have yet to name. They sent me a salad. I ordered a chopped salad. They sent me the salad out on a hot plate, and the chicken on the bottom of the plate was not cut up. And then once I did cut it into the chicken was raw. It was not fully cooked, just like probably anybody else on the planet would do. I posted the picture because I have a lot of young cooks who follow me, listen to the show, and to me it's about a learning moment. It's about a moment about talking about taking an extra 5 or 6 seconds to look at your food to make sure it's done the way it's supposed to be done. But still understanding that I am in the business, the said business, and that naming the restaurant would be a complete dick move. How do you feel about that, Ken? Is that terrible?
I think you took the right step in not naming the restaurant because I can tell you, I mean, I've run companies in the past that make mistakes and, you know, sometimes they're just honest mistakes. But the thing is, once it goes viral on social media, it becomes a whole different animal. So I think you were in the right and you had good intentions by not naming the restaurant.
But here's the key. You've been to a pop-up dinner I've done. I have very, 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 very high standards. It's part of the reason why I don't currently own my own restaurant, because I don't think pressure-wise I could put up with it. I would drive myself crazy. My standards are very, very high. The littlest thing, Eric, the gentleman we were just speaking about, who was dunking his head in water with high commitment at Sono Bowl, would tell you, I can be a fucking monster when it comes to certain things. But simple things like serving a salad, a cold salad on a hot plate, makes me crazy. So what ended up happening was I posted this picture. I talked about what was going on. I never mentioned the restaurant. And it wasn't even really anything derogatory. It was more about a learning thing for young chefs who follow me, Ken. That's what it was about. It was about teaching these guys to, hey, just another mention, you know, take 2 seconds, look at what you're doing before you send it out. These people come here, they work hard, they pay a lot of money for this food. It's important to make sure we take care of them and appreciate the fact that they're working and choosing to come here on a night and spend money. Am I wrong there?
I don't think you're wrong at all. No, I don't. I think you make a good point, the fact that you have a lot of young chefs that follow you, and I think the fact that you didn't name the restaurant shows that you didn't have anything vile in mind, and you didn't have any ill intentions, and you genuinely were just trying to make a point about the restaurant industry in general, not that specific restaurant.
Exactly. What ends up happening is a manager from that restaurant then posts a tirade on my Instagram, where she's just, I mean, it's, first of all, the grammar's terrible. She's completely making herself look silly because, and most of all, what happened was, I guess the chef that was at this particular restaurant followed me on Instagram and saw what I had posted, called the restaurant, freaking out, blew up on his manager at the time. I won't say what happened when I asked them, told them about the issue, because it definitely wasn't handled a great way. It wasn't a bad way, but it wasn't a good way. And she threw a tirade on Instagram. So we said to her, we never named your restaurant. We highly recommend you take this down because it does name you now that you're talking about it. I mean, so we ended up actually deleting her comment to save face with her, to make her not look silly, to make the restaurant not be named. I think that was a smart move to do. What do you think, Kenny?
I think it was a classy move to do. I mean, there's one part of me that says she named her restaurant, that's all on her. But I think you took the high road in deleting the post.
I didn't delete the post because I was offended by what she said. Listen,
deleting her comment.
Right. I didn't delete it because I was worried about what she said or offended by what she said. I deleted it because her commenting now names the restaurant. And I'm trying to make sure.
That's why I think you took the high road and you did the classy thing.
That's what I think. And pretty much the rest of the Instagram verse agrees with us and says that that shouldn't have happened. A couple of, you know, the trolls that are out there disagree, and they do so in a manner with ill grammatics and not really knowing what they're talking about for the most part. But I think that even people like that who would take the time to understand the story would see that we're doing the right thing here. It's 2016. We live in a world of social media. Things like that are going to happen. Thankfully, this is the point I want to get across. It was me. Thankfully, it was me and not the New York Times or one of the bigger food blogs in our state, because they definitely would have named the restaurant. Do you think I'm right?
I mean, look at Per Se. You know,
yeah.
I mean, look at New York Times with Thomas Keller's Per Se. I mean, absolutely. You have a bad experience, they're going to name the restaurant. They don't care how many stars you have.
Absolutely.
But at the end of the day, and I'll say this as a consumer, the response to an angry customer is never a tirade. The response to an angry customer is, I'm sorry, sir, you know, please come back again and allow us to make it right.
That is the correct response. You know, sorry this happened. Let's see if we can try to make this right for you. You know, if that's the case, then if they had posted that, Ken, what I would have done then is said, this is the right response. A lot of young restaurateurs could learn from this. This is how you handle a situation like this. This is a great place, and I'd have put them over. Not that it matters whether I put them over or not, but, like, that's probably what I would have done. But in the end, basically it comes down to this. We live in a world of social media. We live in a world where people do constantly tweet. People do constantly Instagram. You need to be aware of that. And more importantly, every single plate you put out, you need to be aware that every plate that goes out, that can happen too. I think it's just, you should be thankful it was someone like me who doesn't name the restaurant and who has the common courtesy to think, have the forward thinking to realize that by you commenting with your ridiculous tirade, names the restaurant and now makes you look silly and look bad. There it is. Anybody else who doesn't see it that way, obviously you have a lot to learn.
Listen, I'm on your side with it, but here's a question I have, because I'm not someone who works in the culinary industry. From a customer's perspective, should a customer be comfortable if they're unhappy with a plate sending it back? Is there a polite way to do that, or a certain way that a customer should do that?
You know, here's how I've always looked at it, man. If you send me a plate of food back, there's really not any scenario where you're going to be wrong. You're paying for this. This is your hard-earned money. You know, I think you'd be nice about it. You see it, you say, you know, this isn't whatever the reason is you're sending it back for. What will probably happen is they'll offer to do something different for you or change it up for you. And there you go. And that's the way you handle the situation. I don't think there's really a way that you do it that can be embarrassing, because you got to remember you're paying the money for it. It's your hard-earned money. It's your time that's going there and doing that. So you're expecting a certain level, a certain standard when it comes to food.
Well, I got to assume from the kitchen's perspective, you would like for them to at least be polite. Don't be a dick about it.
Absolutely.
Be polite about it and explain your issues.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, I would have said 100% of the time, but now I'm going to say 99% of the time, the place is going to be, oh my, you know, they're going to handle the issue appropriately. They're going to say they're sorry. They're going to make it right for you, and they're not going to charge you $37 for four beers.
$37 for four beers?
Yep, and I'm biting my tongue not saying the name of the place right now because that was ridiculous.
No, that's fine. That's totally fine. I'm going to start charging you for beers when you come to my house. I still have a shopping. Now that I know how deep the Chef Plum pockets are, oh, my God, come down to my house, my friend. I've got some old Coronas from the Kentucky Derby party you ditched me on that I can still sell you.
Oh, Jesus. Dude, listen, what I actually like to drink are those little buttery nipple shots. I hope you have a few of those. That'd be awesome.
Listen, we've got any crappy liquor you bring to my house, I still have saved in like a Chef Plum cabinet where one day when you come over my house and you have to crash in the home office because you don't want to Uber at home, I'm just going to stuff those in your face, my friend.
Holy,
it's going to be like the worst mini bar in hotel history.
Oh, my God. Kenny, you're one of my favorite people ever to talk to, dude. You're so awesome. I appreciate you taking the time tonight, taking away and be able to pause your men rolling around in tiny tights together to hang out and talk to us, man. Listen, Ken has a huge milestone happening this week. He's got his 100th episode of Welcome to Connecticut. It's on iTunes. Just type in Welcome to CT. You'll find it there. Hey, do the man a favor. Leave a little rating and a review for him. That's a big deal, man. I'm learning about algorithms, Kenny. I know you know more about this stuff than I do, but I'm learning about it.
I actually know very little. My producer knows a lot about the algorithms. He tells me, keep on pushing people to rate and review the podcast, which I amazingly forget to do every single week. But yes, Plum is right. If you rate and review the podcast on iTunes, it apparently helps out the iTunes algorithms and gets the show in front of more ears. So, yeah, that's a cool thing to do. By all means, I'd appreciate it.
Whatever an algorithm is. I don't know. It sounds like a bad drink. I don't know.
I did horrible in math in school. You don't want me to just talk about algorithms.
You know what my biggest bet is, dude? I'll bet that in 6 months there'll be a brewery here in Connecticut called Algorithm.
I'm not going to lie. That would be a really good name for a jazz club.
Not bad. Not bad. Algorithm, the jazz club. I like it. Dude, you're the man. Thank you for spending a few minutes here and talking to us. And again, congratulations on all the success. And we haven't even talked about it, how you're one of the most you're 40 most important people in Connecticut under the age of 40. You won that this year. You're on a roll, dude. You're blowing up. I'm glad we became friends before all this happened.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I'm reminded every time I talk to you that I am one of the 40 most I don't know, one of the top 40 people under 40 in the state of Connecticut. Every single time you make it a point to remind me, I appreciate that.
Well, it's the truth. You are one of the 40 most important people under the age of 40 in Connecticut, and I appreciate. I'm glad that we're friends. I think probably in a year you won't talk to me anymore. I'll have to talk to your agent to get through to me or some shit. So, but I appreciate the time now. You're the man, dude. And make sure you check out Ken's 100th episode this week on iTunes. Welcome to Connecticut. It's right there. It's going to be a great episode. And, hey, I'm on it. There you go. That's how it's going to be a winner, Chef. Right there.
Absolutely, man. I'm going to have my staff actually update my Facebook page and tag you so that, you know, I make sure you know when the episode goes up.
Somebody's being a dick. Oh, by the way, we're going to be some awesome. some really, really cool filming this week, brother. I'm happy you're going to be a part of it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hey, man, big things ahead. All we do is keep fighting. That's what we do, you and I. Hustlers, baby.
Onward and upward, man. You know what it is. Do it yourself. That's the way it works.
There it is. Dude, it's so awesome to talk to you, man, and I'll talk to you later in the week, all right?
You got it, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
My man, take care. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Anytime. You know that.
All right, guys. There he goes. That is Ken Tuccio, the host of Welcome to Connecticut, and my good friend. And listen, I couldn't think of a better person to bounce those things off of, because Ken and I have become the kind of guys who just talk to each other about things. We go back and forth. We bounce things off of each other. We get along great. And he's a great guy to talk to about these things because he is such a great food guy and understands the food business in the state and in the, the suburb area of New York. And anyway, you get the picture. So there you have it. That's what's up. If you don't like my things on Instagram, then fucking unfollow me. It's that simple. I could give a shit. If you're pissed, cool. Send me a message. But being a little tiny passive-aggressive human being on Instagram doesn't really do anything for me or make a damn bit of difference. So if you don't like it, unfollow me. It's truly that simple. Check it out, guys. We're going to play a quick spot. Actually, before I play my spot, I want to talk about it again really quick. Those great people over there at Shoes for Crews, they have given me a number of pair of shoes to give away. We're going to have an awesome giveaway from Shoes for Crews on Instagram and on Twitter. Let's just make it all social media and, of course, on this very program. I just got to figure out what the hell we're going to do. I'll figure some shit out. We'll by the end of the show, I'll have an idea and I'll announce it then. So make sure you listen all the way to the end. And, of course, if you don't rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes, check it out. We're going to play a quick spot from my fine friends over at Ergo Chef. That's right. That's my dude's knives that I use every single day. We're going to play a quick spot for them, and we're going to come right back with my dude, the one, the only. He's a hustler, baby. Jamie Glover from Glover's Pepper Sauce. Stay right there. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live right here on Blog Talk, Stitcher, TuneIn, iTunes. If you can listen anywhere, you can find us. We're everywhere. We'll be right back, guys. Hang in there. Oh, that's right, guys. My knife is smarter than yours. That's right, smarter. I'm talking Ergo Chef knives. The unique patented shape makes it more of an extension of your hand. The curved handle of an Ergo Chef knives allows for smoother cutting and less fatigue in your hand. Listen, I use these knives every day, and they are fantastic. They're my go-to knives. If I use a normal knife, like a regular chef knife anymore, my hands start to hurt and feel achy. Trust me, guys, I'm not making this up. These knives are the jam. Check them out at ErgoChef.com. That's ErgoChef.com. And tell them Chef Plum sent you by using the promo code PLUM15OFF and get 15% off your purchase. Mike and Scott are great dudes over there.
So cold. One day you're here, one day you're there, one day you care. You're so unfair. Sipping from your cup till it runs over. Holy grail.
Blue told me remind you nigga. Fuck that shit y'all talking about. I'm the nigga. Caught up in all these lights and cameras. But look what that shit did to Hammer. God damn it, I like it. Bright lights enticing. Look what it did to Tyson. All that money in one night. 30 mil for one fight. As soon as all that money blows, all opinions take flight. Fuck the fame, keep cheating on me. What I do, I took her back. Fool me twice, that's my bad. I can't even blame her for that. Enough to make me want to murder. Mama, please just get my bail. I know nobody to blame. Kurt Cobain, I did it to myself.
Yeah. Wow, that was a little bit quick down, turning the music down. Coming back live right here on Plum Love Foods Live, checking out a little Holy Grail by Jay-Z, which I think is an appropriate song for my guest at this time that I'm going to bring on right now, because I think he is also trying to reach that Holy Grail, that kind of the pinnacle of what we're trying to do. My dude right now, I got Jamie Glover on from Glover's Pepper Sauce. Jamie, what's up, brother?
And how are you doing, my friend? Thanks for having me on the show.
Dude, as you heard sitting there waiting, I apologize. I ran a few minutes late getting to you, but don't worry, man. We'll spend a few extra minutes with you tonight. But I'm fired up, brother. I sit down here in my chair at the bar. I'm having a cocktail. I am standing up. I am full on talking with my hands, and I am just incredibly fired up this evening about what's going on, and happy to be on the show, and happy to finally have a chance to chat with you here about what you do, my friend.
Well, you know, I appreciate the love, man. It means a lot. Thank you.
Dude, listen, I talk all the time about people who are hustlers, people who work for themselves, people who spend that time trying to make their dream happen. That's what I'm doing. The guest a minute ago we just had on, my friend Ken Tuccio from the host of Welcome to Connecticut, that's what he's doing. And my friend, that is exactly what you were doing. You had a dream, you had a product, you saw something that was amazing, and you are now about to turn this product big time, bro. So I got nothing but respect for that.
Yeah, it is hard work. I mean, that's the one thing nobody tells you. It's just it's a whole lot of fun playing with peppers until the shit gets real, correct?
Oh, brother, you were preaching the fire here, man. But tell us, when you decide to make like peppers be your thing, because you did something else before this, didn't you?
Well, you know, the funny thing is that a lot of people that know me, they knew that I'm a man who loves hobbies, stuff to do. Used to be in a rock and roll band. That's why my voice is all jacked up. But the bottom line is, you get married, you're relaxed, you need stuff fun to do. And I got into really into doing stuff culinary. And I really, my mother gave me a book of pickling, and I started. Okay. My wife would come home, and I would have pickled everything in the damn refrigerator that was a vegetable. And one day I got a whole big box of peppers. A fellow was leaving the farmer's market and had to just dip them off and gave them to me for $10. And it started about a year and a half of pickling peppers in different combinations. And so, you know, I just really started exploring what all the flavors would be if you pureed them in different combinations. And when I hit upon a certain recipe, that, you know, I don't feel like I invented it, I just discovered it. And but the bottom line was there that people loved it and challenged me to get out there and sell it. And so I signed up for the local Whole Foods program here in Washington, D.C., and then the rest is history, so to speak. So now we sit 2 years later, about ready to go regional and searching for distributors and with a whole line of products waiting to roll. And it's been a lesson in learning the industry of the packaged food business. It's not nearly as fun as making dinner for 2,500 people in a gale storm.
Absolutely.
It's
well, it's funny because you look at what you do and the things that you do, which is just amazing, and some of the awesome products you make. But you know, one of the things I wanted to ask you about that was, you know, a lot of guys get into this co-packing and this business about, you know, about to break out and go big time and make stuff happen. But you have so many products. Like, have you ever thought of it? Maybe you have too many that you should focus on one or two things and try to make that happen, or, you know, doing more seems to be almost easier. What do you think? What do you find is the easiest way to do that?
Well, the way that makes sense. When I first started just having exploring all the different recipes I wanted to put together, I really just wanted to stretch my legs and really just create. But when we decided in May of last year to kind of dial in, we wanted to launch with a single sauce that would separate us from the pack. In other words, not be just another hot sauce on the shelf, but a wide net, a pure table sauce that people could cook with, they could It wasn't too hot. You could enjoy the next bite of food. We saw the big movement of sriracha going on. And
yeah.
So, you know, there was a I sent a sample of my original stuff to a chef, a fellow named Art Smith out in Chicago. And he came back with a tweet, with a tweet to me who said, you know, this tastes like one of the most amazing, in, you know, the paraphrase, one of the most amazing sambal sauces I've ever had. And it really made me think. I was like, that's what we're going to call it. We're going to call it a sambal sauce. And then I sat down with a consultant. I decided to go, you know that moment where you can either just continue to do it local, or you can take the next step into the chasm and see what happens. And so our first, we're coming out with two products, so we're not inundating the marketplace. We want to grow into it. But one's a sambal sauce, lightly sweet, hints of heat, but flavor first and all natural and everything. And the other is a Bloody Mary mix. So
right.
I chose those two things because I did not want to be seen as just another hot sauce guy. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I wanted to pick a fight with sriracha and say I can make something better. And,
well, what I love about the sambal sauce, which is great, and you sent me some samples of the sambal sauce, and I'm going to be honest with you, man, what I love the most about it, I judge the New York Hot Sauce Expo. I'm a judge of this event. I love hot. Hot is great to me, and hot changed my life last year. That's a whole other story itself, but it became a whole new...
You told me that one, yeah.
Yeah, well, it just became a whole new thing to be able to feel, like I've always smelled food, seen food, you could hear food, you could taste food, but now, all of a sudden, I could feel food, and... Your sambal sauce, the hot one, is just unfucking believable. I love it. I love it on pretty much everything, bro. I mean, I made a beef and barley soup, and I'm pouring the fucking hot sambal sauce from Glover's in it. And my wife's like, what are you doing? I'm like, dude, it's fucking good.
Yeah. That's sort of the idea. I wanted to create a food version of crack. I wanted people to have something that they could use in everything, whether it's a burger or a pizza. I mean, Helen, it took months to go from my original recipe, which was a lot bit hotter and a whole lot more relishy and hard to get out of the bottle.
That pepper relish stuff is good, dude. That pepper relish is good shit. Don't stop making that.
No, we're gonna do that. We're gonna go back to some of the original recipes, but we're gonna make them more finely pureed, and we're doing them in these fat little bottles that are bigger, like 12 ounces. So it screams, I'm not a hot sauce. And you could pour it on everything. But I want to have different heat levels. So I'm really coming out the box with the lightest of all of them to where the hot guys are like, oh, it's not hot enough. I'm like, just wait. It's coming, man. I mean, I've got a Latin American coming. I've got a Caribbean coming. And those will be my medium, my hot, you know. So, but for now, I really want something that's widely accepted as we try to get into regions of Whole Foods. We try to make everyone have something, whether it's the hot guy who's like, if he wants to make it hotter, he can add something to it. And the wife that normally doesn't dive into his stuff is stealing from his bottle. I mean, that's really what I wanted. And it was based, it truly has the soul and spirit of the original, so I'm happy. You know, I'm very happy with what it came out.
Well, you know, it's tough, man, because you work with, you talk to a lot of chefs, and you mentioned Art Smith earlier, fantastic chef. But you talk to a lot of chefs, and that's a tough group to break into because, you know, like for me personally, you know, I'm not going to reach for a bottle of hot sauce when I'm cooking food. I'm not going to reach for the sambal. I'm not going to reach for the vinegar, which I love so much traditionally. Like, I'm not going to be the guy who does that because as a chef, I want to make it myself. I want to make that myself and make it happen. However, you have a delicious pepper vinegar, which I'm guessing is part of your pickling liquid or something, that is just, oh, to die for. I braised a pork shoulder. And then would take that vinegar that you sent me and just throw that vinegar. Oh, my God, dude, are you kidding me? I'm seriously feeling a little sexually aroused right now talking about that.
You know, I've saved about six bottles from the final 36 of the original batches
All right, Jamie, hang on. First of all, I just made a very uncomfortable comment about your vinegar, and you just blew past it. I give you credit. You're like, I have heard it a lot.
Actually, I felt the same way when I first tried it. So I'm sitting there pickling these combination of five peppers. I'm doing it myself. I'm peeling off the peppers. I'm throwing away the vinegar. And there's a chef in the kitchen here in D.C., Union Kitchen. It's a commercial kitchen for entrepreneurs. And he's like, dude, give me a gallon of that stuff before you throw it away. And he started cooking greens. He does like
soul food.
It's brilliant. He's like, why don't you sell this? So I called my label designer guy, and I'm like, and I ordered some bottles. And instead of throwing it away, we just started bottling it, and it went alongside my alongside my five pepper blend sauce and whole foods. And people didn't really know what to think about it, because if you look on the market, there's not an infused pepper vinegar. And so I kind of knew I had something, and I was ashamed that I'd been throwing it away all that time.
The stuff is awesome, you know? Dude. And it's one of my favorite things that you make, and I hope you continue to make it. So what I want to do, I got a feeling my friend Steve Steberry might be listening tonight to the show. I want to see what I can do about getting you involved in New York Hot Sauce Expo. I think it's a great thing for you to be a part of. So we definitely need to make that happen as well, because it's just a great, huge, giant event, and it's a great thing to be a part of, especially for what you do. So I'm going to try to make that connection for you. I want to ask you, I have like five questions in my head already, Jamie. I apologize. I run my mouth a lot. Have you not noticed that? I do talk a lot. I'm very shy.
No, you are one hell of a DJ. I had no idea. You could get rig D's and run through his money.
I could drop my voice a little bit if you want to. No, but listen, so it's important that I want to ask you a couple of really important questions when it comes down to this stuff. So I spent some time, this is not a story about me, but it gets to the point, about a year or so ago, helping a company who was making chicken jerky. And they were trying, we got in the phase, we had recipe testing done, we had the recipes done, but to find a co-packer was one of the hardest things in the world to do. So obviously, start making a big time and doing what you're doing and getting your stuff in Whole Foods and getting out to all these stores, you have to have a co-packer at this point. Tell us a little bit about what co-packer means and how you found, and like how that happened for you.
Well, I mean, actually, all the original product, I made myself. I had a crew help me bottle it. We did it in a commercial kitchen. You really need to start there, and you build a brand, you build a following. You build that kind of energy going behind it. It gives you the energy to go to the next step. Now, I will say this, 99% of the people come up with a recipe and immediately go to the co-packer. Co-packer
right.
is nothing more than a manufacturer for food products. So, but I found that I wanted to get my hands dirty for at least a year and know every single aspect of it. And so when it became time to find a co-packer, I chose, actually, I'd heard so many nightmare stories, because you picked the wrong one, you just made a big mistake.
Yeah.
So, and also, think about this, you're a small guy. You're just a private label.
I've never been called a small guy in my life. I wish I could be called a small guy.
But anyone who's making a sauce and wants to take that next step, I do recommend that you bring on some kind of consultant from somewhere who's been down that road before. So I brought on a wonderful guy in this area who consulted me on finding the perfect co-packer for my product, meaning that it was not too big, it was not too small. And it was someone that I could literally hand my baby to. You know,
right.
My baby, and I want you to love it and take care of it. And so, well, found a wonderful small co-packer right outside of Baltimore, and we proceeded, you know, over a period of a few months to do our first test batch, our first batch, and then we even tweaked it from there to get to your final thing. It takes the process, you know,
yeah.
It's a little bit of a commitment. So now that all that's in place, now people listen because they they see that we've gone through all that first tweaks and everything you've got to do. You think, in looking back on it, I know hindsight's 2020, but looking back on it, I thought on each step we were good, we were done. But Murphy's Law kicked in, and every time you want to just make it better. So I would not just simply go out there to the first tow packer you can get your hands on. I would do your research. I would bring in a consultant. I'm more than happy to refer people to good folks that I've discovered. My goal is not to grow into one massive co-packer as I grow, but to use different small co-packers in different regions of the country. So we've identified one up the seaboard. So as we grow, we've got co-packers that are ready to help us expand. You know,
right.
Upstate New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, my current co-packer can handle every order we're going to get over the next, you know, number of months. But I will never, you know, part of it's just being true to yourself. And I don't want to turn my back on the guy who believed in me in the first place and just ditch people. But that's just bad karma, and you don't want that. It's a bitch.
Not at all.
So as far as the co-packer goes, my advice, make sure your recipes are tight. Make sure you sign non-disclosures. Make sure you've upscaled those recipes to large-scale production. That's where consulting comes in. And make sure that because you're going to spend some money, make sure you're not spending it on the wrong guy who doesn't respect what you're doing.
Oh, man.
To answer your question.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It's all about consistency and having standards, which seems to be the running theme throughout the show tonight, is the standard. You have to have intensely high standards for doing what you do because, I mean, I have a friend of mine who runs the Daisy Cakes, and she had gotten so big to where she actually had a spot in New York now. She's from down in South Carolina, a spot in New York now, where they were going to just mass produce her cakes, and they fucked it up, Jamie. They destroyed her recipe,
yeah.
And it cost her a ton of fucking money.
It will. In fact, I would say it's a bad problem to have, but grow slow. And you have to as we're doing this growth right now, it's almost like I want to encourage those that are working with us to hold off on those big contracts with, the Safeways and Harris Teeters of the world and the Costcos and the Walmarts. Hold off, maybe scarcity is a good thing. Maybe it's
right.
A little hard to get, make sure that, and it's tough. It's really tough to do, but I would say most people that are food people are not business people. And most people are business people are not food people. But like you and myself, if you can combine being a food person and a hustler and a business person, then you're dangerous. And that's kind of where the confidence of it all lies. And don't make those mistakes of going too quick. I mean, she just took that golden apple that was just sitting right in front of her. Don't eat the apple. Don't eat the apple.
Right.
It's tough. It's tough not to do,
So talk about how you use what you've done here to pay homage to your grandfather. Tell me a little bit about that.
So it's really important as part of our message that everyone realizes that this is a sauce that built a company. And
right.
In most aspects, people develop a message and a thing that they want to, do. And that's I didn't even have a message. I was just having fun in a kitchen and selling sauce. And the first, when finally I realized, wow, I got to sell this stuff, and I got that contract with Whole Foods, I was like, well, I got to come up with a label now. So the thing was, very, very quickly, I was like, well, I do everything that I do in homage to the greatest man I know, which is my grandfather, Bill Glover. And he served on a bomber in World War II on the 431st Bomber Squad and Asian Theater. And he just is a dynamic, wonderful man. He grew up on a farm in Alabama. And he just taught me how to be a man. And he taught me what, if it's worth doing well, then do it right, you know. Absolutely. And so related to him, I wanted to do this, and I wanted to, so the story of the Soul House really came secondary, you know. But that's so important to have a good story. And when I look around, I almost feel like we don't have a lot of competition because there's really not a lot of products out there with some kind of dynamic story that people can grab onto. So if you've ever seen those like Chevy commercials where, you know, they're belatedly giving homage to the military, but it seems insincere, you know? So,
yeah, totally.
You know, we have three, you know, we have got the food, we've got the all natural thing and no preservative thing. And then I do this for him in honor of Veterans Everywhere because he served our country, he survived, he probably nearly died a few times, but, you know, he came from the great generation. It's called the great generation for a reason. And everything today is about do it quick, do it now, you know, short-term attention span. And he's, you know, I just am not going to do it that way. I mean, for example, in my sambal sauce, I choose to use candied ginger imported from Japan.
Wow.
Not powdered ginger and sugar. If you see ginger on a recipe, it's powdered.
Right.
If you don't see fresh, it ain't fresh. So we have fresh garlic, fresh ginger. You know, my tomatoes in my Bloody Mary are imported Marzano tomatoes, and we make our own juice. You have control. This is your moment to make a statement. And why go out on the cheap? You know, because if I'm gonna go out, I'm gonna go out with guns blazing.
No
and
doubt.
Maybe that's just me. Yeah, so I'm going to go out guns blazing culinarily, hustler wise, and business wise. It's going to, you know.
Man, I'll tell you what, it's one of those things where it's just like you look at what you're doing, and it falls so in line with everything that I love about what I do and what people do in this business. And honestly, man, it's an inspiration to watch you do what you do. So listen. So tell me about how, just two more questions for you, then I'll let you go. I know it's getting late, but, you know, I do this show at this time of night because the people that I talk to, they're just getting off work at 10 o'clock on a Monday night, or they're cleaning their kitchens up from 10 to 11. So it's amazing how it happens. And Jamie, I've said it before to other people on the show, but it's amazing how I get messages from people in as far away as Thailand who send me a picture of them cleaning fish while they're listening to this show.
Amazing.
It's pretty amazing, man. It's pretty fucking awesome to see. So hearing someone like yourself who has done what you've done, explain how you've done it is pretty amazing to people, I think. So tell me about what is the process that you went through to get into a Whole Foods or to get into one of these big markets?
Well, the first step in the process is assume that everyone's going to tell you no, and it's a crazy idea.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just don't even listen to it. And so within the Whole Foods track, you know, I just did all the paperwork. You know, I abided by the rules, and it's a 3-month process.
Wow.
When my friends were like, "Wow, you got to figure out how to sell the stuff," you need to do is very simply, you know, go. Discover exactly how local health code rules are. And don't pay someone to do it for you. Do your own research.
Right.
And don't everyone in the local, everyone locally is going to tell you don't do it. Don't, it's too much of a pain in the ass. Don't worry about it. But the reality is, if it was easy, well, then everyone would be doing it. So you obviously have something to contribute. So, but making that decision to go from being local and selling at the farmer's market, by the way, if you are local, you can sell in the Whole Foods local program, which is typically about a 40 square mile program. But you need to go in to see, you get approved within Whole Foods, and then you go in to see each manager independently, and you're literally delivering one case at a time, to whoever orders it. But, in the beginning, I was just excited to be on the shelf.
Of course. Great. Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot to be said. There's a lot to be said for perception. I mean, perception is reality. I mean, that's truth when it comes down to this stuff. And people see your product in a Whole Foods. That's a big fucking deal. Don't sell that short at all. Maybe you're only bringing one case there, but that's a big deal.
So assume for yourself that it's a loss leader. You are not going to make money.
No.
Because you're just taking pride that it's on the shelf at a really great grocery store.
Yeah.
And so, I probably lost money on every bottle but sold in the first year and a half. But there's a point where you go, okay, that was fun, and you either move on and you say that was a good time, or you go, now we're ready for the next level.
Yeah.
And that moment where you go, okay, now I'm ready for the next level, that's typically reserved for the crazy people of the world.
Which are way more fun to hang out with.
But luckily, I'm one of those crazy people, and now we're about ready to launch from Jersey to Carolina. So
wow.
I'm excited, but it just comes from being smart, a little crazy, good with recipes. Now, I'm not good at a lot of stuff, but hell, I can make a good sauce. And being dynamic in front of people when you're at a festival, get out there. Get in front of people. You're doing these in-store tastings. Nobody ever sees the owner at an in-grocery store tasting. I learned that.
Right.
I mean, usually it's like some little marketing company where they got some college girls there.
Yeah, you bring a hot girl.
If you're on the aisle at Whole Foods and you meet the owner, ask them, are you the owner? If they are, give them the respect because they are truly different than the rest of the folks in the world. And I just had so much fun being out and about. And so that was my test marketing. 2 years of test marketing in front of real people. And who typically most of the time had no idea who I was. And like, oh, this is great, but it could use this, it could use this. Oh, you could use it on this. I mean, it's amazing. It was like being on that boss show where he's like the secret boss where he's like hidden.
Yeah, the undercover boss show. Right.
Undercover boss. It's sort of like the undercover boss but from all of the response gave me the confidence to never give up. And there have been many nights where I just wanted to give up. But it's the people. It's the people you meet to give you that confidence. It's your friends that say, it's the chefs you send it to, like you or others, that are like, yeah, you're on to something, man. That's when you keep going. That's when you don't give up.
You sent me some sauce, and now we're hanging out here on a Monday night having cocktails talking about making sauce. How about that?
Absolutely. I'm actually
talking to the world,
to
the world.
Yeah, having a good time. I'm actually working on a cookbook for regular guys. I am not a certified chef. And I would love it if regular guys had 40 recipes and that they could just go to recipes. Because most folks out there that enjoy your cooking probably are not brave enough to try to do what you do. But I call this little book Cook to Kill. Who knows when it's going to come out. But if I can do it, man, someone else can make the perfect steak too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Just from a promotional and a marketing and a PR standpoint, be careful trying to market just to men like that, because a lot of guys take offense at that these days, especially being the fact that so many people do cook now with Food Network, with Cooking Channel. There are so many people
sure.
who are into cooking, and the people who would go look for a cookbook are people who can probably already cook. I just know because we've done a lot of market research, because I no one knows it, but we're working on a cookbook ourselves. But it's amazing.
Mine's many years away. Mine's many years away.
Well, listen, two more questions. Well, actually, it's four more questions, but one of them is a real question. The last are my three quick fires for you. But I got to ask you about the jalapeno relish one, which is just, I thought, was delicious. And I don't see it available on the website anymore.
Right. So all of our original sauces were sold out. I had a five pepper blend, which was my original. I had one I came up with because I saw no jalapeno out there that was not a liquid. So I came up with a jalapeno coriander relish.
That's what makes that so beautiful. From a chef point of view, what makes that awesome, brother, is the cilantro, the coriander in it, which is just, I'm telling you, listen, I judged last year the jalapeno category in hot sauces, and there was nothing like the stuff you had sent me with that, because that stuff is so good.
Yeah, I sent that to you a while ago. So I look at these, and the third one was my ode to, when you're a kid, you go to like the sandwich shop and you get those, you're like, oh, give them spicy peppers. Well, really, they're just cherry peppers that they ground up or whatever.
But the cherry ones, right?
I wanted to take something to another level, and I created one called an Italian savory. So it was cherry peppers, long red hots, red serranos. It was fennel bulbs. It was five different fresh herbs, all chucked in vinegar and sat for 4 weeks.
Wow.
And, you know, it was that vinegar is truly off the chain. But, you know,
where's that one
at? The three sauce, well, that one was made in very small batches and has long been sold out. So we're going to bring this back, but I'm learning now with the co-pack arrangement. You've got to take these recipes and figure out how to make them in a quicker environment.
Right.
Because
right.
You've only got so much time in an FDA-approved facility. So we are working now on the originals, being able to do them in a ramped up, quicker process.
Did you do them under a pressure or kind of like under a vacuum or something like that to make it infuse quicker?
Yeah, I mean, that's really what we're looking at, different ways to create flavors that would normally exist only if you followed like these grandpa type recipes from the 1930s, you know, which everything was pickled. And so that's where I started, was everything took a month to make. So how do you speed that up? That's the big food science question. Because today, you know, the condiment offerings out there are typically crap because they are not trying to duplicate, you know, like slow crafted processes. You know, you're either real small and that's what you do, or you're real big and you just, you know, you give people what you think they want.
Right.
So I want to come up with another way. And so if I can get those handcrafted, slow cook methods done, and maybe it doesn't take 3 hours like most processes do in the modern world, maybe it takes a day. And maybe it takes 24 hours, you know. And then that's the challenge, or recreating those original flavors that came to me by working on them over a month. And that's the challenge. And that's definitely, but I appreciate that. Yes, jalapeno will be my, the core of my Latin American sauce. I'm going to rename it my Latin American cream is what I think I'm going to go with.
Well, listen, I think if there's any man in the world that I would count on a way to figure that out, it's definitely going to be you, because you have tenacity, you have the hustle,
and more importantly, you have the belief in an amazing product that you're making. And I look forward to having some again here very soon. So listen, I've taken up a lot of your time tonight. I appreciate it. I appreciate you bearing with me here on Running Long earlier. I'm going to ask you my three questions I ask every guest at the end of the show. If I can get two more minutes out of you, what do you think?
Oh, that's cool. And before you do,
could I simply
describe, because I can't see it, describe for your guests my logo. So the logo is a pinup girl in a red dress from the film Going My Way. This was the artwork of my grandpa's bomber in World War II. You see that logo, and then you turn the bottle around, and you see my grandpa's flight crew, and you know, found me. You don't even need to remember that it says Glovers. Pinup girl with a red dress on, and you'll be all right. You'll be all right.
Dude, you know, I never thought about it like that, and that's amazing.
Are you there, sir? Chef? Hello, Chef. Chef.
So I'm not quite sure what happened there. Technical difficulties. I'm not sure what happened there. Apparently,
Chef,
we got disconnected. Hey, can you hear me, buddy?
Yes, I can hear you, and I'm back.
Oh, my God. I'm not sure if that was you or me. I think it was me, because I think I got disconnected from the show there for a minute or two.
Yeah, it was a little bit crazy. No, I'm back and ready to answer your final three questions.
That's never happened, brother. I completely apologize to you. I'm sorry that happened. That's never
weird.
Happened in the past, but that's what happens when you do live shows like this. Sometimes the live aspect takes over and shit happens that you're not expecting. So there you have it.
We call it live action. All right, go ahead. All right, hit me with the last three.
Dude, I'm flustered now. I got to recover from that. What the fuck happened? That was ridiculous. I'm so pissed off. And all I'm seeing here is my producer people saying an observance of President's Day will be closed today and will open tomorrow. Well, that doesn't fucking help me right now.
No, not really. Not really at all.
So anyway, back to it. So listen, Jamie, you've been a lot of fun to talk to, man. I've really, really, truly enjoyed hanging out and talking tonight. And, you know, one of the things I want to bring up before I ask you, I haven't done it yet, and I should do this, is talk about what you do charity-wise for each bottle of club.
Right. Can you hear me, Chef? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you, buddy.
Oh, good. You know, there's a lot of... And this is a wonderful idea for anyone out there starting a whole food company. But it's just something that came to me, like all great ideas, at about 3 in the morning when you're trying to figure out how to promote yourself. And I said, you know, I need to take this opportunity. I have a vehicle people enjoy. And I need to tag myself to various nonprofits or good causes that would like to raise money. And I don't care if it's a local football team that wants to raise money for their new uniforms, you know, whether it's something big, like now we're with Farm Co. This current, we're doing a campaign currently right now with Sharks for Kids trying to bring awareness for saving the sharks around the world. You know, what I find is if I put it out there that would very much like to do something with the vehicle that I have. And so what I do personally is that when folks buy online, well, I don't have to pay the middleman. So that means I can easily give $1.50 a bottle directly without a marketing company in the way, directly to a cause of my choice. Now, look, if all goes well, I'm not always going to be in control of everything this company does, but right now, I do.
Right.
I really enjoy these moments where I can reach out to the fans of that particular nonprofit or good cause or schools, you know, high school football team. And, you know, salsa's sexy. If they know that, hey, look, if I buy six bottles, I know that $6 or $9 is going directly to the team. You know, we're not ready to step up and do something with our first university, but Catholic University here in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
So if you put an idea out there, it sticks. If it's a good idea, and if it benefits both parties. So for me, the only benefit for me is that, well, I mean, look, I'm giving away profit. I mean, that's a silly business idea, but it benefits me because I'm gaining fans. And
yeah, you're absolutely.
And you're reaching new audience, and everybody wins. And that's
absolutely
kind of what I'm up to, you know. So if you go to my website, you will go to the site. It's the part that says nonprofits we support, and the list is growing. It's something we have only been enacted here in the last number of months, and I'm real excited about it. It makes it so fun. I'm not just selling sauce. We have a campaign going on each month for something
great.
Cool, you know? That's kind of
and that website is gloverspeppersauce.com. You can find it out over there. The sauces are incredibly reasonable. And also, make sure you follow Jamie at Glover's Peppers on Twitter and, of course, on Instagram. Instagram is at Glover's Peppers also, too, right?
Nope, just Glover's Pepper Sauce. I kept it simple.
Yeah, we got to get you doing some more Instagram, man. That's the way to go these days. That's what I've been told.
Yeah, you definitely have cued me onto that. I'm trying to do a little bit more these days. Putting up recipes. My Bloody Mary makes an awesome chili, a great paella. I'm trying to just experiment more, take a direction from guys like you that just, you know, break down the boundaries of food. And, and you know, there are no rules. You can really do what you want as long as it's focused on quality and natural and healthy ingredients. You win. You know?
Well, food is fun, man. Food is an important thing in our life, and it's such an important thing. And I end every show with the same thing, talking about how food is such an important thing. Everything important in life happens around food, whether it's, you know, someone getting married, someone your first date, or God forbid somebody dies. We all do it around food. That's what brings us all together, and food does that. And what you're doing is doing that now, and I can't thank you enough for what you do. Your sauces are great. You keep fighting the good fight, my friend. And listen, we're going to fire off three quick questions. We got 2 minutes to answer them. You ready?
Ready.
All right, because they're going to cut us off here in about 10 minutes. So I always try to have a little headway there. That's what I do. So check it out, my friend. What was the moment in life when food became a real thing to you? When you're like, you know what? Food is not just something we have to do. We have to eat to sustain ourselves. But food is amazing. Making hot sauce is amazing. Making our sauces is amazing. What was the moment? When was that? When did it happen for you?
Well, it was late in life for me. The moment was when I met my current wife, my lovely Ravina, and she allowed me to have carte blanche in the kitchen. And I hate cleaning, and the deal was I would cook. So I just started cracking open cookbooks, and I found myself taking three recipes and blending them together, and I found I had a knack for opening the refrigerator and looking at what was in there and figuring out how to make a good meal. And that probably came from my mother, because we didn't grow up with a lot of money. And I always joke she could make a meal out of, you know, some beans and rice and some veggies, and it was amazing. So it was that first woman in my life who allowed me free form in the kitchen. And so I give it all to her.
Man, I tell you, and that's one of those things. So I'm not sure about yourself, but me, I am a giant beer lover. As a matter of fact, Jamie, I'm trying really hard currently to not drink as many beers, and I'm having way more non-fat cocktails these days. But has there been a cocktail, has there been a beer for you, something that made you realize that beer is, or a cocktail, a drink, is the same thing as food? It has that whole emotion, can invoke that whole thought about that to you?
Well, beer has been something that I've actually been doing pairings with very locally with Fordham Beer Company, Old Dominion, different beer companies here. When they want to celebrate their own beer, they need to pair food. So my sauces really fit in, You know, whether it's the vinegar on fries, whether on a barbecue, or, you know, and I really discovered that there was a real connection between the flavors I make and good beer. Me personally, I like a good brown ale. I'm a good fan of honey brown ale. In the summer times, I love a good Hefeweizen with a slice of lemon or orange. And but, you know, personally, I'm a bit of a sailor, you know, and I'm a dark and stormy guy. I like spiced rum and ginger beer. That's my go-to cocktail. And at the bar tonight, that's what I've been having with you during the show.
There you go. Well, I'll tell you what, I've been drinking vodka and soda water all night with some Caracara orange in it. That's what I've been drinking. And I just switched over because I ran out of vodka. I'm having now a bourbon and Pepsi Max, non-calorie Pepsi. I'm a healthy motherfucker, Jamie. That's what I got to say.
Yeah, we'll switch to the spiced rum and ginger beer, and you'll be – it's just as fine. Even
well, here's my problem. I'm a giant beer guy. I'm filming an incredible segment this week for Edible Magazine Thursday with an incredible local brewery. But here's my problem, brother. I'll drink 9 of them. That's my issue.
Yeah.
And you know how many calories that is?
Yeah.
15,000. So.
Well, then drink nine shorties.
Yeah.
You'll be all right.
There you have it. Listen, my final question for you, my man. Listen, you've been a lot of fun to talk to. I've really, truly enjoyed this conversation. And I think a lot of people have as well. You got a couple of retweets there on Twitter if you haven't seen yet. What is the best piece of advice you would give to young entrepreneurs or young, you know, we have a lot of young chefs who check this show out, young culinarians, people who maybe want to open their own business or do their own thing, or maybe they have a product on their own they want to start working on it to try to promote and get out there and produce. What would be the biggest piece of advice you would give them?
I would say that you kind of go for it first, build your brand and your name before you go about trying to drum up all the cash that you're going to need. And I've done it on the cheap the whole way, and it's kind of what you need to do. And when you get to a certain point, then the money will follow you. So I wouldn't spend all of your initial effort on an idea and trying to go and get the money that way. Because ultimately, they'll own you and you'll lose. So I would say just, you know, take some of your own money, put it on the credit card, borrow from grandma, figure out a budget of what you need to do, small scale, and figure out the small picture, the small ball, and then also look at the long ball. You know, where you eventually want to be. Because, yeah, I want to be from Jersey to Carolina. But if I'd been working on that 2 years ago, I never would have gotten there.
Right.
You know, well, the first was to get into 10 Whole Foods. That's the first step. Get into 20 restaurants. That's your first step. If you're making food and you want to do catering, get a food truck. You know, do parties, do Super Bowl parties, just get your food out there.
Work for a great caterer. Go work for a great caterer and learn the ropes.
Learn the ropes. Learn from a guy like you. You know what I mean?
There you go. You guys, we've been hanging out this evening and talking too. We ran a little long, but that's okay. It's been a great conversation talking to my man, Jamie Glover from Glover's Pepper Sauce. You can find them at GloversPepperSauce.com and, of course, at Glover's Peppers on Twitter and Glover's Pepper Sauce on Instagram. I can't recommend them enough. The stuff is fantastic. I love the whole small batch. I love the care that goes into it, bro. You were killing it, and I wish you so much success. And anything I can do for you in the future, I'm a phone call away. You know how to find me.
I surely do, and I thank you, my man. And on that, have a wonderful night and live well, drink well, and eat well, sir.
There you go. I can't sum up any more than that. My man, I'll talk to you down the road, all right?
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye now.
There you have it. There he goes. That's Jamie Glover from Glover's Pepper Sauce. We got 3 minutes and 40 seconds left. Let's hit this and get on with it.
Yeah. You know what it is. Black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow.
Yeah, you know what it is. Everything
Oh, shit. That's another episode, ladies and gentlemen. Episode 13, Season 3, Plum Love Foods Live. I cannot believe that we are still sitting here doing this freaking program. I'm so humbled at the opportunity to do it for you and to check it out. If you can, please make sure you rate, review, and subscribe on them iTunes. It makes a big difference for everything. So I said at the top of the show or the middle of the show, we're giving away, we're going to have a whole big, long shoe giveaway from my friends over at Shoes for Cruise for you guys. Here's what we're going to do. You ready? I want you to take a picture of your shoes, Instagram it, tweet it, and I want you to put the hashtag Plum New Shoes. Plum New Shoes. That's the hashtag, Plum New Shoes. And let me know what you got. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to pick one out of there. And we may do one every week for the next couple weeks. Hashtag Plum New Shoes. Show me what you got. And listen, if you're the winner, I'm going to send you a code. You can go to shoesforcruise.com and get yourself a brand new pair of kicks. All expenses paid. Pick whatever the hell you want from their website. They got some amazing shoes on there. I wear them. Go on there and get yourself some. Plum New Shoes. Let me see how bad your kicks are while you're working. Show me what you got. Let me see what they're doing. Plum New Shoes. That's the hashtag on Instagram, on Twitter. I'll put it out there in a little while so everyone can remember that. And we're going to give away a new pair of shoes. We're going to do it for a couple of weeks now. It's going to be freaking badass. I'm so excited about it. So listen, you can follow me on Instagram, at Chef_Plum. On Twitter, at Chef_Plum. You can follow my man, Jamie Glover's Pepper Sauce. You can follow him at you can follow Glover's Pepper Sauce at Glover's Peppers on Twitter and Glover's Pepper Sauce on Instagram. Big shout out to my man Ken Tuccio. Congratulations on your 100th episode. I got like 70 seconds left on your 100th episode this week, brother. Much love, much success. We'll see you down the road, too. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for checking the show out. Please rate, review, and subscribe. We talk to young cooks, and that's what the show is about. It's about young cooks. That's what social media is about. It's about young cooks and teaching them things and letting them see things. If you don't like that shit, unfollow me, you fucker. Unfollow me. I don't care what you think. My name is Chef Plum, and ladies and gentlemen, food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life happens around food. Let's make sure we give it the time that it deserves. And I'll see you guys next Monday. Oh, by the way, guess who my guest is? Yeah, that's right. It is my man, Michael Buckley. You'll see him. Check him out. Buck Hollywood. That man's got a bajillion followers. It's going to be badass. Buck Hollywood joins us next week. I'll see you next Monday. Thank you for checking out Plum Love Foods Live. We'll see you then. Have a good night, everybody.